Tunisia votes. Will the economic concerns that sparked the revolution be addressed?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. They're counting votes today in Tunisia, the first of the Arab Spring countries to head to the polls. The turnout over the weekend was 90%. We're going to talk now with Inel Tarfa, who is a 25-year-old business school student in Tunisia. He's with us from the capital, Tunis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, this revolution that started in Tunisia started because of economic reasons, to some degree anyway. Do you think that as a result of these elections, that those concerns, those economic concerns, will be addressed?
Well, to be perfectly honest, with the results we're seeing so far, with Ennahda leading, I don't think it's really that their main concern. Although all parties say we'll improve economics, etc., but I don't really trust them.
You think the party, this moderate Islamic party that is leading, is not going to address those concerns?
Not directly, I'd say. They sure will try to appease people, but that won't be their main concern at the long term.
You are a business school student. Do you plan to stay in Tunisia when you're finished with school or leave?
Well, so far I don't really know. I'll have to finish my degree first, and then I'll see if I can have an opportunity outside of Tunisia or not. We'll see. I don't know yet.
Inel Tarfa, 25-year-old business student, joining us from Tunis, Tunisia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, now to Iraq. The news came in Friday that all U.S. troops will come home by the end of the year. Our Washington bureau chief John Dimsdale reports now on what that means for the Federal Treasury and for the Congressional Super Committee that's trying to find savings.
The U.S. was spending around $40 billion a year in Iraq. Will the Super Committee chalk that up as government savings? American University's Gordon Adams says probably.
It's going to be more of an accountant's trick than it is actual savings, but they may choose to do that.
By the way Washington does math, you could do that, yes.
Since the president already promised troops would be out by the end of the year, the Lexington Institute's Dan Garay agrees the savings are just a sleight of hand, especially because Iraq's money will likely be redirected to Afghanistan for increasingly expensive technology, things like unmanned vehicles and robots.
And not until the end of next year, that is 2012, are going to be enough troops out, enough equipment out, that there'll be sort of a net reduction in costs.
But he says that won't prevent congressional budget negotiators from adding $40 billion a year to the savings ledger. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up about 2% in Tokyo and 0.4% right now in London, as Europe continues to wait for a solid plan to deal with the debt crisis. Here in this country, the biggest ever opening for a horror film over the weekend, Paranormal Activity 3, was number one at the box office, bringing in $54 million. Nothing scary about Wall Street Friday. The Dow climbed 267 points, about 2.3%, to close at 11,808.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at MassMutual.com.
We've been telling you over the last couple of weeks about how the big banks did last quarter, or at least how they say they did. A lot of the profits they're reporting are pumped up because they're setting aside less money for losses. Well, what about smaller community banks? 84 of them have failed this year and will get earnings from several more today. Frank Sorrentino is chairman and CEO of North Jersey Community Bank, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So when I hear community bank, I sort of think of the bank down on the corner that's still in business of making loans to people and businesses and not involved in a bunch of risky stuff. Is that true?
That's pretty much it. Our business plan is very simple. We take in deposits from our local market and we make loans in those same markets to the same people.
And that's a business model that works?
It does. People don't realize this, but there are about 7,800 banks in this country, and about 7,500 of those are community banks.
Are you being helped or hurt by the Fed's extremely low interest rate policy?
Yes. certainly lower interest rates, you know, I think are good for the economy in general to a point. And so they will help people to refinance and be able to take money that they would normally pay in interest and put that money back into the economy. But very low interest rates and for a very prolonged period of time will actually hurt bank earnings capabilities, which if banks don't earn money, they can't grow and make more loans.
The big banks have been in the news a lot in the last couple of weeks about these debit card fees, $5 a month at Bank of America. Are community banks like yours going to have to do the same thing?
No, I don't think they will. What you're seeing the bigger banks do is what they've been doing for the last 30 years, which is some bean counter in some office is looking at a spreadsheet, doing an algorithm, and just figuring out how can we get every single last penny out of every one of our clients. And when it doesn't work out the way they'd like because of regulation, then they will shift and move to accommodate their profit models, not their customer.
But why wouldn't you be doing the same thing? If that's the business model that they feel they need to use, why don't you do that same thing?
Because that's not our business model. Our business model is to take care of our client, and we don't make decisions across the entire country, across an entire product line. Remember, the profit center for us is more customer relationships.
Frank Sorrentino is the chairman and CEO of North Jersey Community Bank. Thanks so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.
And later today on Marketplace, Kai Ryssdal will kick off what we're calling Greek Week, an explanation of why Greece is such a threat to the economy and why it matters to you. Kai will be hosting today from Athens, a place not as far away from your own finances as you might think. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
By now, you've heard all kinds of explanations of the European debt crisis, but I guarantee you, you've never heard it this way.
Well, I'm thinking of Oedipus, and I'm reminded of Oedipus as a kind of a Eurozone.
I'm Kai Ryssdal, Marketplace in Athens. Next time on the broadcast, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.